We had our reading this morning from Second Book of Samuel, and I wanted to think and talk about the table of the king. I don't know if anybody's ever been invited to an official banquet of any sort. Anybody had that honor to be at some kind of official banquet? No, I haven't. No, I guess we've all seen pictures of it on TV, haven't we? Buckingham Palace and places like that, and all the dignitaries come in, and there's the king or the queen, and now the king, of course, at the table, seated in the place of honour, and the guests are there, and all the tables are laid out, and the beautiful silverware and the crystal and it just looks wonderful, doesn't it? It looks really impressive. I think if I was there, I'd be worrying about the table etiquette. You know, which knife and fork do you do? Just start with the big knife or the little knife first? Which one do you begin with? And is there a separate knife for the fish? I think there is, isn't there? So I'd be a bit worried about that. I'm going to get this right. Fortunately for me, I don't think anytime soon I'm going to get summoned to Buckingham Palace for an official banquet. I don't think that's going to happen. But it is a huge honour, isn't it? If anybody has that, it's a huge honour to be invited. And through the centuries, it has always been so, and regarded as a great honour and privilege to get an invitation. Perhaps more so in years gone by, you know, centuries back. Anyone been to Hampton Court Palace, King Henry VIII's place? Yeah, a few folks have been there. Yeah, and apparently there were over 200 workers just in the kitchen. 200 workers just in the kitchen, and sorting out the food and all that sort of thing. 200. And all those people lived locally on the estate or in the palace grounds or outbuildings of the palace. And so the term for them, eating at the king's table, was in a sense relevant. Because when you eat at the king's table in those days, it meant security, provision, protection. But on the other hand, if you were eating at your own table, as it were, as well as meaning preparing your own food and eating your own food, it also meant living at your own expense. So those who worked for the king, those who were and his honored guests, you know, they were seated at the table, and it was at the king's expense, and you had the finest food. If you've seen the kitchens there at Hampton Court, great big open kitchens, and they used to have these huge spits, you know, and they put a sort of complete ox on, and one sort of kitchen boy, that was his job, to turn the spit and roast the ox, and the finest food was available. Everything was there. And they were living at the king's expense. And in the normal run of things, of course, it is right for us to provide for our families. But the illustration, the symbology, is in the spiritual life. It's using a practical situation to describe that spiritual level of living, that spiritual reality. And when we think of that term, a table, we usually think of its use as a place to eat. As a family, I think our first table, one of the first tables we had, was just an ordinary pine table, and we had bench seats either side so that we could sit around the table and just have our meals in that way around the table. And so it became not just a place to eat, but it became a place to talk and to meet. But conversation wasn't always easy, especially with the children. You know, you sit down at the table, and as they got older, how was school today? Yeah. Hmm. Any homework? Yeah. Hmm. Silence. You've been there, haven't you? And there was conversation, but it took a while to build. And one thing we did was we didn't want any distractions. So the TV was off. You know, we didn't have TV dinner. So sit around the table and try and talk and discuss and share and have a family time around the table. So as well as eating, you know, you could share together. Well, that was the theory anyway. But I want to take our table illustration again and put it in the spiritual level. In Luke chapter 22, and we've just shared around the table of the Lord. And in Luke chapter 22, you can turn to it if you want. I want to read a few verses of scripture from Luke 22. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Jesus said, "I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it. And then he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. For it has been determined that the Son of Man must die. But what sorrow awaits the one who betrays him?" We had some folks around our table last week, and Daphne and I were the hosts, as it were, and Daphne prepared the meal and we served it, and it was a lovely meal, and there was laughter and good conversation. But here in the table of the Lord, you know, we see that different level of feasting, that different level of provision. Probably just a simple table, but the host was the King of Kings at that table. The host was the King of Kings. And as we enjoyed fellowship around our dinner table meal and shared together, and it was good to do that. But the fellowship that Jesus invites us into is on an altogether different level. Something that's on the heavenly level. That personal walk with him. And that's the kind of fellowship that Jesus wants to draw us into. And the meal that we shared, it was good, you know, but the next day we were hungry. We had to eat again. But the food and the fellowship that Jesus wants to bring to us is the bread of heaven, his very presence. He wants to share that life with us and in us, the life that fully satisfies in every respect. And at the table that we had, there was chance to share and talk and talk about things we'd done. But at the table of the King, you can share your deepest worries and your deepest needs, because he is the Lord of all creation. And there at the table, when you're with the Lord in his presence, you can share with him. As you feed upon his presence, as you feed upon his word, as you feed upon his love, you can share with him. You can open up your heart to him. And when we have friends around at home, you know, we have good conversations, but we don't really share our deepest needs with them, our deepest worries. Sometimes even in the family, we don't share those things, because perhaps they're a little bit painful or a little bit deep, but we don't share them. But we have the privilege of being around the table of the King, and at that table where he has made every provision, you know, we can share those kinds of things with him, those deep things, those deep things, and we can open our hearts to God and tell him about those things. And that's the table as well where we need to put aside all distractions, because we need to hear from him. We don't want to be distracted when we're in his presence, when we're spending time with him. And you know, we're all busy, aren't we, in life, and things happen, and things occupy our thinking and our time. But when we're at that place at the table with Jesus, we want to put all those distractions to one side and be ready to hear from him. Yes, we talk to him. Yes, we bring our needs to him, our deepest worries and our deepest concerns. But in every conversation, there should be that two-way, shouldn't there? And we want him to speak into our hearts. We want to listen to what he has to say to us. And you know, God does that through his word, through the reading of his word. As we come together this morning, sometimes through the line or a couple of lines of a song that we sing, God will speak something very direct and very positive into our hearts. Sometimes it comes through the ministry of God's word. As we're in his presence, as we're feasting around his table, the table of the Lord, somebody's prayer may touch us. Perhaps the gifts of the Spirit in operation, and a word is brought, and we're ready to listen to God. We're in that place, we're at that table, the table of provision, where we can hear from him and we can share in all that he has for us. But we need to make sure we've pushed those distractions aside and given time to spend with God. And there is a little painful note here, which I hadn't meant to speak about, because I wanted to think about the table of God as a very positive place. It's a very wonderful place. And we want to be at that table. We want to share in that table. We want to be fed from that table. But as I was reading this, it just suddenly occurred to me there's a little painful note in here. Verse 21. But here at this table, sitting among us as a friend, is the man who will betray me. And as I read that, I thought, oh Lord, you know, oh, there are times, Lord, when I've got it wrong. That's me. That's me. We know what Judas did. We know what Judas did. And I'm not referring to that Judas did. But I'm just thinking of the fact that, you know, Lord, I know I've let you down. I know I've got it wrong. And then it says they all began to ask one another. Dig in the arbor. Who would do that? Who would betray Jesus? Was it you? Was it me? Who was it? Who would do that? And they all began to question amongst themselves. Who would ever do such a thing? And then they went on, it says, then they began to argue among themselves. The disciples began in verse 23. The disciples began to ask each other which of them would ever do such a thing. And then they began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Isn't that incredible? Here they are at the table of the King of all creation, the Lord Jesus, who would lay down his life for them. And first of all they said, well, who's going to betray Jesus? And the next moment they were arguing about, well, who's, you know, I'm more important. I wouldn't do it. You know, look at me. I wouldn't. And they began to argue, who's the greatest? And yet they were at the table of the King. Can you imagine that? They had every provision that they could ever want in Jesus. But they were arguing about that. And in Mark's Gospel 14, we read, when Jesus was arrested, what happened? All the disciples ran away, every one of them. And that was just after this event, when they were at the Lord's table. And so, I read that, I began to think about that. And I felt quite moved in my own heart. You know, because I wanted to think about the good things of the Lord's table. But then I thought, yes, Lord, that's true. Sometimes we get it wrong and we let you down. We're at the table with you. And we're sharing at the table with brothers and sisters and enjoying that fellowship. And yet, you know, we get it wrong. We let him down. But as we acknowledge that, as we humbly, you know, confess that and acknowledge that, there is a great hope as we acknowledge our failures before him. In verse 25, Jesus told them, "In this world the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you it will be different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. For I am among you as one who serves. You have stayed with me in my time of trial, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I now grant you the right to eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. And you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel." And there was encouragement there, because Jesus knew what would happen. He knew what would happen. You know, we won't be in heaven judging the 12 tribes of Israel, but we will be at that banqueting table with him. We will be at that table with him. We will be feasting with him one day in heaven and sharing with him. And the wonder is, the glory is, that seated at the table, you know, around the table of the Lord, as it were, in this life, you know, we do make those mistakes. We do get it wrong. We sometimes walk away from the Lord and do stuff, and it's almost like we're betraying him. And yet he knows, he understands. And that the encouragement is that one day, as we continue to walk with him, as we continue to acknowledge him and acknowledge our own failures, you know, we will be reunited with him and sharing with him in that banquet in heaven. So that was a wonderful thing. And I mentioned earlier about eating at our own expense if we are not at the king's table. And there is nothing that we can provide in the spiritual life that we can match. There's nothing that can match what God can provide for us. If we are, as it were, eating at our own expense, trying to work out the things of God in the natural, we can't do it. We can't do it. And there is nothing that we can do. There is nothing that we can bring. But if we're eating at the king's table, then it's already provided for us. His life, his death, his resurrection, it's already provided for us. And it's a full spread. The table is fully spread. He provides the table of plenty when we are surrounded by enemies. Psalm 23. He provides a table, sets a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And I think we mentioned this before, just briefly. What kind of enemies are there that surround us? Fears for the future. Health worries. Anxiety. Cares of this life. What other things might there be? Greed. Anger, hatred, etc. And in the midst of all these enemies, there is a table set for us. Sometimes we have personal enemies who want to do us harm, you know. But I'm thinking of the issues in life sometimes that become enemies, and they surround us. And if we're at the table of the King, we can find that refreshment, we can find that provision, that strength. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. It was in our first song, wasn't it? Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. And as we eat at the table, or in those days they reclined at the table, we find strength will rise, because here is our provision. Here is the answer to those things, those enemies that would try and bring us down. They can be defeated as we fellowship and stay and feed and share and listen at the table of the Lord. And as it's often been said, you know, yes, God does take care of us, God does provide, but I remember hearing one preacher many years ago saying that God is not like a blessing dispenser, where we put our 50 pence in and we pull the lever and doing, a blessing comes out. We get a dollop of blessing over this or that issue. And God does provide, you know, God does bless us. And God does feed us. But life is a process, isn't it? And as we've said before, we've got to go through that process. But there is strength, there is hope at the table of the Lord. And so it's that table for sharing, for meeting, for talking, for listening. It's the table for confessing our failures, and it's the place to worship. The table where we worship Him for His mercy and His forgiveness. And that's the time when we put the distractions away. We must put those distractions to one side. If we want to be fed, if we want to go on with Him, if we want to know Him, then we've got to be single-minded in our purpose to follow Him. And that means getting rid of those distractions. I'm a bit busy at the moment. I'll find time to read my Bible later. You know, I'm a bit weary. I won't pray just at the moment. I'll do that later. I'll do that another day. We're all guilty of it, aren't we? We're all guilty. We struggle with those issues. But if we want to sit at that table with Him, and we want to get the real benefit of God's love and blessing, then we have to fellowship with Him and enjoy that provision and listen, as well as pouring our heart out to Him. I said earlier that eating at your own table is eating at your expense. But at the table of the King, it's at His expense. And you may know that little acronym, God's Riches at Christ's Expense, GRACE. GRACE. God's Riches at Christ's Expense. And as we're seated at the table with Him, it's through grace, isn't it? Because we can't earn it, we can't do anything to make it happen. We can't buy that favor, we can't buy that spiritual food, and we can't provide it. But it's at God's expense. It's the expense of Jesus giving His life for us, dying for us. And so we receive God's riches at that table at Christ's expense. And we enter into that place of fellowship with Him, that place of growth and maturity, as we feast at the table, all due to the grace of God. And so this morning, let's think afresh about what it means to be at the King's table. It was a signal honor for and it still is in many respects. But for us as believers, it has a whole new level, a whole new depth as we think about the provision of the Lord's table. Let's just close our eyes in prayer. Oh, thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord, as we come to your table, Lord, this communion table, and Lord, the table of your provision, we realize, Lord, that it's all through grace. Lord, that we're dining and feeding, Lord, at your expense, at your goodness, through your mercy and through your grace. And so, Lord, help us, O God. Lord, as we share together with you, Lord, that our ears will be open, Lord, that we might hear you. Our hearts will be tender, Lord, as you speak to us. O Father God, that we might value those times, Lord, at your table as we grow and mature. Lord, as we grow to know you more. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.